This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Mira Sevisodi. It's our health and living segment, and tuberculosis is something we talk about, but not enough, I think, because recently students at Maktab Rendah Sains Mara in Taiping were exposed to a student who had tuberculosis for 2 months before the disease was diagnosed. Consultant chest physician Dato Dr. Abdulraza Abdul Muttalif in the studio with me from the Institute of Respiratory Medicine. Welcome to the show, Doctor. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Mira. Very good, thank you.
Good afternoon. You want to just give me a quick rundown on what happened in MRSM in Taiping?
Okay, it is frightening because TB is infectious. What you say, there was a delay in diagnosis because the students are usually healthy. Young children are very healthy usually. They run around, they play around, and they're very active. So they do not fall sick like older people. Mm-hmm. But by the time they come in sick, they may be already infectious, or very infectious. So the 2 months delay, if you ask me, is something normal in most young children. Unlike adults, they come in a bit early because they fall sick very often and then they get symptoms much faster. So when children come late, then the disease spreads before they are diagnosed. That's what happened actually in MRSM. It's not the 11 cases just by one day or by 1 month. No? It's a classical example, Mira, I must tell you. If you see a patient with TB undiagnosed, in 1 year, you expect to 10 people. And this is exactly what happened.
Yes, because the first case was diagnosed in August last year.
Exactly, yes.
And
true.
Then it was only detected in April this year.
Yeah, somewhere around March.
Okay. True. Which is a long time, really.
It's a long time,
so
yes,
when
true.
Is TB most contagious?
It spreads by the air. When somebody coughs and then there's a thing called droplet. It comes to the environment. And this will evaporate into the environment. They just fly. The TB germs can actually fly because they're very small. They don't have wings, but they're very small. And they actually can float in the environment for some time. And when the person next to him or her inhales this bacteria and gets infected.
So as soon as the bacteria gets into you, you become infectious.
The thing is, yes, true. I must be careful here. The germs can enter your body through the air. But the thing is, if your body is good, if you're very strong, you may just get the germs in your body, but you won't have the disease yet. This is what they call infected, not diseased. So when someone is infected, they may have the germs in the body, but the body is quite strong to fight the infection, and they can be normal for many, many years. So these infected people, 10% may get the disease or the symptoms of TB. So these are 10% unlucky people where they get a disease. The other 90% will be having the disease in their body, but they won't get disease right now. But maybe in the future, they get it.
But can they infect other people?
If they don't have the germs in their body and they are not coughing, no symptoms of TB, they won't affect other people. That's what WHO says in the world here, Mira. 1/3 of the world population has TB germs. And that's frightening. 1/3 of the world population. If there are some billion people in the world, 1/3, about 2 billion will be having TB germs in their body, right, but no disease yet.
Okay, all right.
And they may be getting the disease in the future, I'm not so sure.
What does that mean for Malaysia?
Well, Malaysia, again, is about the same figure. We don't know the actual number because there's no test done. But these are all just some analysis by the WHO.
Okay, so we don't have numbers in Malaysia as to how prevalent TB is?
Well, TB from Malaysia last year is a bit high compared to the year before, 25,700. So it's 6% more than 2015, sorry. So it's slightly more now. 2015 was 24,000 and now it's 25,700. So 6% more this year, last year, sorry. And again, that again, Mira, must tell you, I feel very sad because people should not die of TB. The year before, 1,600 people died. And last year, almost 2,000 people died of TB. And TB is 100% curable. They should never die of TB.
So why did they die?
They die because they come late. Either they come late because disease is quite bad, or they may have something else in their body. Maybe they have poorly controlled disease like diabetes or even HIV. And they can die of these things where they're infected by these TB germs.
Because your immunity,
immunity is
compromised.
Yes, correct.
Why is TB so associated with HIV/AIDS?
I think you should know that HIV is the immune system goes down. Mm-hmm. And the body can't fight the infection. And the germs just happily grow in the body. And they go all over the body. Yeah? It can be the lungs, the brain, the bones, and lymph nodes.
And hence the reason why.
Yes, correct.
So with non-communicable diseases or lifestyle diseases like diabetes, you know, hypertension and all of that on the rise in Malaysia, so are you saying more of us are going to be susceptible to tuberculosis?
Well, definitely. The thing is, again, can I tell you something about this HIV and diabetes? I went for a meeting WHO about a few months ago. And very interestingly, one chap was telling that in Asian country, the diabetes is just like HIV in Africa. It's a very nice analogy. If you think HIV in Africa is because of, it's the cause of it, more TB cases in Africa, in Asian country, it is the diabetes is the highest cause of TB in Asia because a lot of Asians are obese, especially Malaysia, one of the obese countries in Asia, and quite a number of them are diabetic. Diabetes is one of the commonest factors to get TB in our region, if you ask me. So they say that it's good to treat diabetes just like HIV in our region.
Yes.
So anyone who got diabetes is fully, especially fully controlled, I must mention here. If they got diabetes fully controlled, then they have to be careful about TB.
So what's our strategy to tackle this problem?
The government has done a lot of things for TB. And I think the Ministry of Health, they are quite serious about TB infection in the country. And they are screening a lot of people who are in high risk. There are a few people in high risk for getting TB.
Who are these people?
The first is diabetic people, fully controlled. Number two are the people of older people. And number three, of course, we have people living in the poor social background. And number four, again, we have people in the prison and the post-sovereignty. They may also have HIV. And they're staying in a very enclosed area. Mm-hmm. And of course, people who smoke.
People who smoke. Yeah. Why people
if
who
you,
smoke?
If you smoke, the smoke kills the sort of the soldiers in your lungs. They kill all the infections that come into your lungs. So these soldiers are called macrophages, the cells. They kill all the baseline. So these macrophages are sort of damaged by smoking. So the germs enter your lungs very easily. So the same thing happens about TB.
I see. Okay. And is that why, because of close proximity, the boarding school like MRSM was more susceptible to, it became more difficult to control?
It is difficult because, like I say, young people, they come in late. And again, the hostel is a hostel. You can't get a five-star room in a hostel. Mm-hmm. So they have been given a basic room for them to stay. And probably close proximity, staying together and studying together and playing together is an important factor for these people.
Of course. Yeah. So what about, can they do anything to help in situations like these?
Oh, definitely. I think they have lots of meetings in Perak State about this infection. And I think they're doing lots of things coming in the future. Basically, it's education. I think for TB control program, I think, Mira, basically is you have to educate the people. Tell them TB is infectious. The moment they got cough more than 2 weeks, it's not normal to have more than 2 weeks of cough. If you lose weight or lose appetite, you have to see a doctor immediately. But the young boys, I went to Perak, in fact, for this meeting. I was there a few days ago. Very interesting in the sense that the boys are all very active, and they all are good students. And they have to really be active in their school curriculum and also in education. So in that process, they forget about their health. Mm-hmm. This is one of the main things.
But then again, you know, Dr. Razak, when we all fall ill, even just normally, whether you catch the common cold, cough and cold, the coughs seem to be taking a longer time to clear these days. So when do you actually know it's TB and when it's not?
Yeah, I think if it's just a normal cough, normally if you get a cough, it's normally due to some flu or some other infections.
Yeah.
And you'll have a fever for 2 or 3 days. And the fever comes down. The cough may linger for another 1 or 2 weeks. It's just a cough. You won't lose weight, you won't lose appetite, and the fever will not be there. But if the fever is there, you lose weight, lose appetite, with the cough, it's different.
Okay, so lose weight, lose appetite,
and the prolonged fever.
Prolonged fever are symptoms.
If you just cough without fever and the weight is the same, it's maybe just some post-infection kind of bronchitis. So sometimes young people, they have asthma, they also tend to cough, and smokers.
Okay. We're discussing tuberculosis with Dr. Abdulraza Abdul Muttalif. He's a consultant chest physician and also he leads the Institute for Respiratory Medicine. We're discussing TB because of a case in Maktab Rendah Sains Mara in Taiping where students were exposed to TB for 2 months before the disease was diagnosed. Actually, more than 2 months. August last year. Very long time, actually. Yeah. And that's the interesting thing about TB, which we need to understand. And what's coming through is even more interesting is the high-risk group in Malaysia are people with diabetes. The older people, those who are socioeconomically challenged, as well as those who are in prisons and in those who live in close proximity, such as boarding schools and all of that. So we'll come back and find out more up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. It's our Health and Living segment on The Bigger Picture, and in the studio with me, Dato Dr. Abdul Razak Abdul Muttalif, consultant chest physician, and he leads the Institute for Respiratory Medicine. We're discussing tuberculosis. I think there's no way we can stop talking about TB, Dr. Razak. I remember when this happened, I was thinking, should I call Dr. Razak or not? Because we have done TB in the past.
Sure.
But then I thought, you know, people need to be reminded that we do have such a problem. And as you said, 1/3 of the population is probably walking around with TB, many of whom do not know that they have the bacteria in them. When you spoke about, so now what happens to MRSM? How do you now control the spread of the disease, and you know, what's the strategy?
In fact, the state government has done something very good and proactive in a sense, and Mira, this is what we do routinely in the Ministry of Health. If there's any person who got TB in a family, we do a thing called contact tracing. So everyone in the family will be having an X-ray done and a thing called mental test. The mental test actually will see whether they are infected or not. Then that's a very easy and a cheap test to be done. Suppose, like you say, 1/3 of the world is infected by TB germs, it can be diagnosed by the mental test. So the test is just pricking in your forearm and reading exam after 3 days. If it's more than 10 millimeters, that means you're infected by the TB germs. So for MRSM, they have done screening for the whole of the MRSM in Taiping.
Mm-hmm.
So that means about 700 plus students were screened for TB in MRSM. So that's something really great, and it's quite difficult to do. Why? Because they are all busy. When I went for a meeting, they are all busy with exams, busy with activities, and there was a school break in between. Can you imagine the logistics?
Yes.
They had to go back home and see their parents and see their family, and then we have get everything done for the students. So it was a bit messy then, but it was done very well. So in that process, they did pick up some people with TB. That's how the number became 11.
Okay, all right. So can I walk into a GP's clinic and actually do this test?
Okay, Mira. X-ray can be done in wherever there's X-ray facility. Mental test is not done in every place. It's mostly done in government clinics.
Mm-hmm.
Because to get a mental solution, it can be a bit expensive. And if you open up one bottle, you do 10 persons each time. You can't do one bottle for one person.
But do you not think that stringent screening all over the country should be the case?
Correct.
The thing is, the more people, and if it's a simple test, shouldn't it be done?
Exactly. So if we're talking about screening, I must talk about cost effectiveness. It's very, very important. So right now, the Ministry of Health is doing screening for all the high-risk groups, like I mentioned just now. Not everybody in the country. It would not be cost effective. Young and healthy people may not get TB. Hopefully, yes, no. So high-risk people, the government is doing screening for all these people routinely. And whenever they got symptoms of TB.
Earlier on, you said you could be infected with the bacteria, but it may not lead to a disease.
Yes,
so does that mean it will sit in me? I will remain infected for the rest of my life?
Exactly, yes, correct. True.
So it can flare up at any stage of my life?
Whenever you're immunocompromised.
Oh dear, Dr. Razak, that is a problem. So if I find out that I am infected by chance, if I choose to do this test, what do I do?
Very good question, Mira. This is where WHO comes in very strongly in the past 2 years. What WHO says is that, like what they say, 1/3 the world is infected by the bacilli, and then why don't we treat them? So now they're coming strong saying that if the patient is infected by the simple test, we give them a thing called prophylaxis treatment. We treat them with a TB antibiotic for 6 months, every day for 6 months. It's just one antibiotic for 6 months. This is what they call latent TB infection treatment. Latent means that TB is just quietly sitting on your body. No disease yet. So we give just, normally for TB treatment, Mira, we give 4 antibiotics for TB every day for 2 months and 2 antibiotics for next 4 months. So it's 6 months of treatment with 4 antibiotics or 2 antibiotics. So there can be a bit of side effect, this and that. So for these people who got positive Mintu test or who got some little infections, they only take 1 antibiotic every day for 6 months.
Okay.
And it's not 100% again.
It is not 100%.
70% protection.
So do you extend the period?
We do not extend the period. For some people immunocompromised, like HIV, they have done up to 3 years. Because HIV people are very immunocompromised, they may get TB, even with this prophylaxis. So to these people, we give them more longer period extension. Healthy people, 6 months or the most 9 months, WHO policy. Not longer. The longer you give, they may have some side effects you have to worry about.
Then, of course, you have this whole problem of antibiotic resistance.
Yes, for this thing, Mira, I must say that so far many studies show there is no resistance for this particular antibiotic if it's taken regularly and properly. That's very important. You don't take just when you feel like taking antibiotics. No?
Okay, so once you get the disease, right,
yeah.
And I'm not talking about being infected, you have the disease. So let's look at these 11 children in MRSM.
Sure.
They would be on antibiotics for the next 6 months or so.
Exactly,
when will
true.
They be considered TB clear?
Okay, normally when the patient is diagnosed with TB, like say MRSM, and we do the sputum test for these people and the students, if it's positive in the sputum with the TB bacilli, they are infectious.
Sputum is sort of phlegm from
yes,
the
correct.
Throat. Okay.
So if we check the phlegm and the phlegm show that TB jumps in the phlegm, they are infectious. So they will be given medical leave until the sputum is negative for the bacilli.
And, you know, I'm just curious, yeah, how sure. did you find out that this student had contracted TB? And did you go back to the family? Do you know where she got it from?
That's a good question. That's a good question. We don't know where the focus is. We don't know where the student got the TB from. So that's why we have to do contact tracing for the whole family. So we got students coming from all kinds of life, Mira. Some are from poor family, some are from rich family. And some are from places where there are more TB in the community. So these people may be infected by TB in the community. This is what I feel, this is my opinion. So whenever they come from high risk places where there are TB, and they come to a congregational place like, say, MRSM, and then they may have TB in their body. They are young and healthy people. But the moment they come to MRSM, they are stressed with education, activities, and all the other things. That's where the immune
right.
system may go down.
Okay. You know? And then they become...
And then they become
the
disease.
Yes, okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have the BCG vaccine,
yeah.
Which protects against TB. You want to tell me about the BCG vaccine, and are we still giving children the BCG vaccine?
BCG vaccine, we are still giving.
Okay.
It is still good. It is one of the oldest vaccinations in the world.
Oh, yeah, I remember
it
that.
It is one of the oldest. One of the
but
oldest.
Is there still a need to get it at 12 years old?
Exactly. The thing is, Mira, many years ago, we were giving two. One
yes.
is when you are born. You have to give. And the other one is when you go to standard six. Or even form one.
Mm-hmm.
WHO says that the second dose is not necessary right now. We only give once when you are born. So every Malaysian in Malaysia will get a BCG when they are born. Of course, there are some people who don't actually agree with it. No? But Malaysia is our policy. If you are born in a government hospital or even a private hospital, you will get a BCG before the baby goes back home.
So do you think there's still a need for the 12-year-old?
There's a need because it protects severe TB in small children and the TB in the brain for small children, and also death in small children with TB. So TB, BCG is good for small children, TB, and then very bad TB. But then again, it's not 100% protection, and it's not lifelong. That's very important.
Do you think that booster jab is still needed at 12?
No, no, sir, because the thing is, by the time the children goes up, Mira, by the time the baby goes up to an adult, maybe say 6 or even say from 1, the body immune system is already developed. So your body will be fighting with the infections by themselves. So the BCG vaccine may not be playing a role there. That's why WHO stopped the booster dose when they inform 1 or 76. So in Malaysia, we give them only once now, not twice.
Okay. So as you said, treatment does not mean you will be cleared of the bacteria.
Yes.
So does that mean you can get TB again?
Rarely you'll get TB again unless you are immunocompromised. Say, we got patients who are diabetic. They have TB. And if the diabetes is not well controlled, they will get TB again. Or if they have not come up with something else in the body. You know?
Do you see a better vaccine being developed? Or
they have done a lot of trials, Mira, for vaccination for the past 10, 15 years. And they still can't find something good. So they're still doing something about
TB
this.
TB is not a sexy disease.
It's not a sexy disease, that's correct. But they're doing a lot
but
of
it's
things.
Been there with us for
it's
the
been there
longest
for years.
Time. Yeah.
Even during the mummies and during the pharaoh's time, they found the TB germs in the bodies and in the mummies. It's been there for many, many years. The thing about TB, Mira Masali, is like you say, it's not sexy and it's not alarming. You don't die like the dengue patient. They come in today, healthy, strong person, bitten by a mosquito, they die the next day. So the impact is very strong. But TB is a chronic disease. It goes on in life for long. And you don't see them dying suddenly. You know? So the impact is not there. I always tell people that we are lung disease specialists like me. We don't get the glamour like the heart specialists.
Yes, that's true. That is true.
Because heart specialists, when you got a heart attack, you die. The impact is very strong.
It is your heart.
But lung disease is a chronic disease.
Yeah.
So you don't die immediately or suddenly. So the impact is not there for the public to be aware.
But the risk is still there.
The risk is still there.
If you miss the BCG shot as a child, can you then now go and take it as an adult?
You can. You can. If you want to, you can take, no problem. Yes.
And is there a difference in how you respond to it as a child and as an adult?
Neither will be different because your body immune system is already developed then. And then again, your body is exposed to lots of... There's a thing called environmental TB, you know. We have a lot of TB germs. Not all TB germs cause TB disease. Some of TB germs are found in the soil and some are found in the water. So when you grow up from a childhood to be an adult, you play in the soil and play in the water and everything, you may get infected by this environmental TB, they call. And they may also boost your immune system indirectly. So when you're already exposed to TB germs in the soil and the water, giving BCG may not be very effective.
Why is that?
Because
you've already built
up, yes, correct,
an immunity to,
yes,
to the bacteria. What's the difference between the environmental TB and the TB that's going around in the
environmental TB actually is not harmful for healthy people like you and me, unless you're immunocompromised. If you've got HIV, you've got diabetes, or very bad damaged lung disease, something else, then they may become serious. Normally, we do a sputum test for someone, and then we found there's an environmental germ. TB germ in their spleen, we don't treat them unless they got very bad symptoms.
So what is the TB that is affecting us that we're concerned about?
It's okay. There's a name called TB, called MTB complex, Mycobacterium tuberculosis complex. These are the bad ones. The one that are found in the soil and the water is called the NTM, non-tuberculous mycobacteria. Mm-hmm. So these are the harmless ones.
The children reported the cases in Taiping had received the vaccine,
sure,
which protects them against severe forms of TB, such as TB meningitis.
Exactly, yes, true.
And TB miliary?
Yes, true.
But not against pulmonary TB. Now, what's the difference between all
correct.
Of that?
And those are only for small children, Mira, not for adults.
Okay.
Remember, I mentioned this now, BCG is only good for small children to protect them from severe PTB, miliary TB, and TB meningitis. The moment you are adult, the protection goes down. By the time you're 15 years of age, it's almost no reason. I mean, not effective.
I see. Yeah. Okay. All right then. So do you think TB will ever be a disease of the past?
WHO is very interesting. WHO has come with a thing called anti-TB strategy. That means they want to stop TB just like your polio and the smallpox.
Yes.
So they have come with a thing called anti-TB strategy, and that will be in 2050. So by 2050, there should not be TB in the world.
How do they plan to do that?
Their plan is, like what I say, catch them early. Go and catch. What we're doing now, Mira Masali, is that we are doing what you call passive case detection. Passive means I sit in my clinic and you come and see me because you cough. I say, oh, Mira, you got TB now. So that is what we call passive. So now what the WHO says is that you have to be active case finding. That means you go and find the cases in the community. And then you treat them.
Do we have the resources for that?
That's what we're doing in Malaysia right now. We are finding cases in the high-risk groups. Diabetes patients, smokers, prisoners, and all in this post-20. We're screening them for TB. Mm-hmm.
So start with the high risk and then move back.
That's more cost-effective.
Of course.
We can't screen the whole country.
Of course. And, you know, we lead in terms of diabetics.
Definitely, yes. Diabetes is something very good right now. We have done it for the past 5 years right now. So every clinic in the government setting, if it's poorly controlled diabetes, if they cough, we always think of TB. So we do an X-ray for them. You can pick up very early.
Okay, so the earlier, the better.
Earlier is better.
Would you have a message for us?
Yeah, my message is simple, Mira. I think people forget about TB. And I think the MRSM TB case is a good wake-up call to show that people, that TB is still around us. And it affects everyone in the country. Not only older people, immunocompromised people, but young, healthy children who are very active. And they can get TB. So it's very important that TB is around us. And any symptom which is chronic, which is not normal to have cough for 2 or 3 weeks, loss of weight, check for TB.
So once again, the symptoms, prolonged fever.
Prolonged fever.
The cough.
Cough is also prolonged.
And
you lose weight.
You lose weight.
You lose appetite.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so those are the main symptoms.
Yeah, sure.
Which, you know, sort of sets you apart from the normal cough and cold.
Definitely, yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for calling me, Mira.
That's Dr. Abdulrazak Abdulmutallif, consultant chest physician and from the Institute for Respiratory Medicine on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.